He's worthy. He's worthy. Sing it to him. Say, he's worthy. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Come on, go find some more singers in this place tonight. Tell him he's worthy. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I want you, if you're right there where you're at, I want to jump right in. And I want you to take your Bibles while you remain standing. Let's give it up for this great worship team. Amen. We're so grateful for them. We're going to get our praise on all weekend long. Amen. And Pastor Tom's here coming. Man, I can't wait for our elder to show up. I pick him up tomorrow morning early. He's excited about being here. Amen. He's been bringing people with him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Matthew chapter 9. And we're going to read just two verses. Actually, yeah, just two verses. Verse 36 through 38. So three verses. Matthew 9, chapter 36 through 38. And Devin, I want to thank Devin for doing a great job. Did he do a great job tonight? Amen. He preached it, man. And, you know, thanks for taking my message. It's awesome. I had to come up with a whole other message right there. Amen. I think that's the heartbeat of where everybody's feeling right there. Like, you know, there's a passion. There's things you got to do that can keep you passionate about God, about what he wants from us and for us. Amen. Matthew 9 and verse 36 through 38 reads like this in the New Living Translation is what it is, not New King James. Okay, New Living Translation says like this. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. I want you to key in for a moment where he says, when he saw the crowds. That has to do with sight. It has to do with seeing. It has to do with more than just being there. Like, you're here tonight, but what do you see? He said, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion. Your Bible might say he was moved with compassion. Because they were confused and helpless, like a sheep without a shepherd. Verse 37 says, he said to his disciples, so he must have turned to them, and he said, listen to what I'm saying, he says, and quotes, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord of the harvest, or the Lord, this one says, the Lord who is in charge of the harvest, ask him to send more workers into his fields. Man, if I could give you one thing tonight and you would just get this, if you could just get this revelation in your heart that God is looking for laborers. God is looking for workers. God is looking for a few good men. God is looking for a few good women who would just once and for all say, I'm going to hang up all my hang-ups, and I'm going to go ahead and just get to work. Because while we're not working, people are dying and going straight to the grave without Christ. While we're in our hang-ups, while we're going through whatever we're going through, listen, I want you to know people are perishing. The harvest is great. Jesus said, can you see it? He goes, look at the harvest. Look at it, he says. He was moved. He must have been, there must have been tears in his eyes. There must have been a little movement inside of his, in his throat when he was talking to the disciples. He said, man, the harvest is great. He was trying to speak into their lives and let them know that this calling, this commission that he was giving them, what we call the Great Commission, was more than just a little ministry, more than just a couple of street nights, more than just a couple of rallies. This is a lifelong calling to the gospel being preached throughout the world. Father, we love you. Father, we have done everything we could to get your attention to say, we're here. People have driven for 4 hours, 3 hours, 2 hours. But people have prepared, people have invested, people to come here tonight. The great crowd here tonight, Lord, the opening night. And Father, I pray, God, that you would use me in this next time that I have to speak into every life and that every heart would receive something. Not one would leave this place having not been moved and stirred to do something for your kingdom, fathers, that everyone in this place, my God, would either reignite their passion or for the first time get passion for your cause. We love you. We give you praise. Remove any distractions from our mind or our phones in Jesus' name. Amen. And everyone said, amen. How many know they got that all, that one person be calling you like every time, like right there, I was sitting right there before I got up, you got somebody calling me over and over and over. I said, my God, is something wrong? And then I realized who it was. They call me all the time like that. I don't care. I love them. I just ain't going to answer the phone right now. Amen? If it's an emergency, they could text me and say, emergency, emergency, but they didn't do that. So turn to somebody and say, God's looking for workers of that have passion. You can be seated. Amen? I want to speak on the subject of passion for the harvest. I think the harvest is the cause. I know the title of our summit is the Passion for the Cause. That's the title for our international theme this year, Passion for the Cause. But I want to speak on the word passion for the harvest. Because there is a harvest in your family that is ready. There is a harvest in the streets that is ready. There is a harvest at your job that is ready. There is a harvest right next door to your house, but you can't see it. All you see is a problem or a barking dog. All you see is their leaves coming into your house. That's all you see. You don't know that in that house is a woman that is suicidal every day of her life and just fights to stay alive. Because you haven't taken the time yet. She's not the nicest person. Maybe he doesn't smile at your kids, so you've already put up a wall. Maybe not a block wall, but a... You see, God was saying to us tonight that we need to see the harvest. The harvest is there. It's ready. Over 2,000 years ago, he said, the harvest is ready. And my friends, come on, somebody. When you see football stadiums that have hundreds of thousands, 100,000, 90,000, 60,000 at every game on Sundays instead of in church, and that many more times of 20 at home watching the game and not being in church, what does that tell you? There's a lot of people that are unchurched. There's a harvest out there of people that don't know God or are running from God. And here in our text, Jesus is declaring his purpose. This is like his mission statement. This is his vision statement right here. It's saying, you know what? The harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. Come on, let's build up some disciples. Let's raise up some people, and let's show them how to do it. He makes a statement to his disciples that would ring in their ears until the day they were, until they died, until they were martyred, except John. Until the very last moments where they were burning them alive or sawing them in two, I want you to know they were still hearing Jesus. The harvest is ready, but the workers are few. And I wonder if they didn't think, man, I got it. I hope I made enough disciples to carry this on beyond me. I hope I did my work. See, this is the Great Commission. The Great Commission is victory, outreach, is cause. When Pastor Sonny and Sister Julie speak to our hearts at Mighty Men of Valor and Women's Convention and all these places at the regional meetings that we just got out of, they're speaking to us and saying, hey, our cause is Matthew 9, 36, 37, and 38. We need to raise up workers and leaders and people to reach hurting people. If you ever have to describe the vision of Victory Outreach and you don't understand every little bit of Isaiah 45, 2 and 3, and Isaiah 54, 2 and 3, jump to this. Because I've heard Pastor Sonny preach out of this for the last 30 years. Uncountable times. Why? Because this is his vision statement also. That he cares about the harvest. That's why the new countries that come up, and you say, man, another country? Man, he's all turned on now about Panama. Why? Because he sees the harvest. Many, many, many years ago, he saw the harvest. We just returned from our regional meetings in Mexico, where there are over 350 of the top leaders in Victory Outreach International. All the elders, all the multi-regionals, all the regional pastors, along with the regional leadership, gang, homes, all the gang reps, all the leaders were in one room together, under one roof, being spoken to by our leadership and giving us the plans and the purposes that God, we believe God has put before us in these next, not just this year of 2018, but in the coming years and even decades. We want to raise up an army. The gang is working hard to raise up an army of 10,000 warriors that won't be afraid to go to any country and take that city or that country for Jesus. And Mexico's on fire. I want you to know something right now. There are churches in Mexico that are building buildings from the ground up now. In poverty places, they're building buildings. I think about Cuba, and I know we talk about Cuba a lot, but I look at Cuba and I see the way Pastor Sonny has been highlighting Pastor Aved. You know, we only have here from the top elders, or maybe a multi-regional on the nights at the regional in the evenings. But Pastor Aved, who is the pastor of Havana, Cuba, he was one of the speakers. And I saw that. I get the agenda early because I handle like the staging and all that. And I saw that. I said, man, Pastor Sonny is that. And he preached one of the most dynamic, most powerful messages I've ever heard. He was on fire. There was fire coming out of his nose, man. I mean, he had the fire. He was talking about, come on, if we can do it in Cuba, you guys can do it. That's a communist country, and they're getting ready to build a building. They have 700 people, and they don't even have a building. Don't tell me because you don't got a building, you can't build the people. The church is never a building. The church is people, you, me, us. And he challenged us. And Pastor Sonny challenged us too. He says, why don't we help him build that building? So he gave every region a pledge. He says, why don't you give a pledge? You know what? What our region, you know me, the pastors in our region already know me already. There's a pledge to be, who's the first person to raise up their hand? Me. And I tell you right now, it only costs $250,000 to build a whole building there in Cuba. So you know what? Our region, we pledge $5,000. So you guys can pay your part tonight. Amen. I'll meet you out in the back over there and we'll get collected from you. I'm excited, man, to be part. Can you imagine? My father used to go to Cuba and minister when there was no Victory Outreach there. 5 or 6 or 7 years before we ever even had a church there, he was there videoing and preaching and on the lookout for the police not arresting him. And here, after all that investment, and our church invested in that. Many people here in Albuquerque invested in my father going as well. We have investment there, so why not continue to invest? Man, they had 700 people in the street. They had a church out on the streets. The government finally said, okay, let's give you a building. So they give them like a building with just a floor, and that's it. There's nothing, just a couple of sticks up. That's it. Steel sticks. So they got to put a roof on there. They're just going to build it up, and they showed us a video of the picture of the rendition of the architectural. They're going to do them like, I can't believe it. I'm amazed. And the list goes on, and I could go on all night. You know that I met with I was talking with the pastors from, they're one of the pastors in Holland, in Utrecht. And one of the pastor from Utrecht, Pastor Felix and his beautiful wife, they're just an amazing couple. They have so much love, and we love them so much. And we were talking with them, and he says, you know, Pastor, he goes, have you ever thought about going back to India again now? Because I was originally going to be going to India, and then I got shifted to Central America for about 8 years. We were back and forth there. And he says, India is on fire. I said, what's going on? I haven't heard nothing. Nobody's highlighting. He goes, we now went from one church in India. Now we have 6 churches in India. And I was like, are you kidding me? He goes, we've moved not out of the south, not just in south where it's easier to have Christian churches because they're more open. Now we're in New Delhi, which is the most biggest city in India, northern India, which is, I mean, it is just persecuted. You talk about Christians being persecuted where you're not able to just be free with your Christianity. It is totally, they persecute you there. And oh my goodness, man, I got so excited. He goes, come with me, Pastor. I said, all right, let's go. Let's go where they worship cows instead of put them between two buns. You know what I mean? And the list goes on. I could just keep on here all night, guys. I could keep here all night about what God is doing worldwide. Do you see why Pastor Sonny and Sister Julie are so passionate? Because the need is great. And even though we're not there yet, and even though I haven't, when I asked Pastor Sonny about it, he said, let's hold back for a little bit. Let's take Panama and then let's start working our way that way. But oh, I've got something in my heart, a place in my heart that will not go away. I dream about it. I talk about it. I think about it. I read about it. And that is the country of Argentina. One day, I'm telling you right now, we're going to step foot in the country of Argentina, and somebody, it could be one of you. One of you might have a church right there in Argentina. Who knows? And oh, now it won't be long until we have a UTC in Holland. That's what I'm hearing. You guys ain't got excitement in you, right? You're still tired from the drive or whatever? And oh, I forgot to say that we just now opened the very first missionary training center right there in Whittier, California. The MTC. So those of you that have been part of the UTC and you want to go to the next level, that's the place to be. You need information, you can get it here, or you can call corporate office, you can get online. I'm telling you right now, there's some big things happening around the world. There's a move of God. There's an expectation. There's something happening in the ministry of Victory Outreach. I want you to know something here tonight, that you know what? This is a good time to be part of the ministry. Something happening. There's an excitement. Now let me jump into what I want to be speaking about tonight. As we plant churches and as we look out and look out further, look at countries that Pastor Sonny's probably looking at, like Pastor Charlie said, on the horizon. There's so much need. The need is great. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. Who will rise up? Who will stand up and say, send me, Lord? We need workers. We need passionate people. We need workers. We need leaders. You know what kind of leaders we need? We need leaders that have integrity. We need leaders that are willing to sacrifice and pray and all the things you heard Brother Devin talk about. Aren't you excited about Devin and Leslie? Man, they're our new gang leaders here. Amen. Pastor Pat and Shal, man, they've done such a great job with our gang. You can tell he's got DNA right there, huh? You know who discipled that guy, man? He's a yeller. Amen. We need people who will become United We Can members. You know, say, oh, our church isn't that big. It doesn't matter. If there's 30 of you and all of you are United We Can members, you are taking countries for Jesus. But if you're not, and you say, I'm Victory Outreach, let me go a little Pastor Ed on them. If you say you're Victory Outreach, but you're not a United We Can member, I'm not going to finish that. Because Charlie already knows exactly what he's going to say. And some of you know. Come on, man. Let's all become United We Can members. Amen. Watch what happens. The need's big. See, it's through you. The whole problem is you can't see. You might see the harvest, but you can't see what I'm going to talk about right now. It's through you that God wants to work. It is through you that God wants to do something. He wants to expand his kingdom through you. Therefore, you can't go into anything big for God on your own agenda. You need to hang up your hang-ups tonight before Pastor Tom gets here. Because when Pastor Tom walks in the house, you already know. Men of conviction, you better be getting ready. I'm telling you right now, there's such an anointing on Pastor Tom right now. The eldership needed a man like him on that eldership. I want you to know there's such an anointing on his life. He can see further than he's ever saw. I watch him. I travel with him. I hang with him. And I watch the way God has not just raised him up in a position, but the way God has raised him up spiritually within the leadership of our ministry. I can't wait to hear what he's got for us. So whatever you do, don't miss tomorrow night or Saturday morning. And Sunday morning, because he's going to have something different every single service. And you don't want to miss anything. Now, how many believe we can pack this place out tomorrow night? How many believe we can pack this place out tomorrow night? You know how we'll do it? If you bring somebody. Make sure you call them and say, hey, where were you tonight? Oh, I was working. Okay, tomorrow night, dude. Call in sick. See, you can only do God's agenda if you're doing God's agenda. You can't do it with your own. And I want to speak to some people tonight to say, I'm tired of getting the same old results. I've been serving the Lord for a couple of years, a decade or two, and I'm just still going around the same circles right now. Listen, it ain't your pastor's fault. It is not your church's fault. It's your fault. You still got the hang-ups that you need to hang up. You still don't know how to act. You still don't know how to... You got to get tired of doing things your own way. I want to speak to some people tonight that are tired of doing things their own way. I want to speak to some people that say, you know what, I want to be used by God. I want to know what God wants me to do. And I want to say yes to it no matter what. If my pastor says, I need you to do this, see, I'm going to stand at my post and be faithful there until he moves me or God moves me. We're on God's agenda. Too many times we're following, we say we're on God's agenda by your will, and then we go to our will. We got to say, get off of your will. Put your hang-ups on the hang-up already. I wish someone would just shout under the influence and power of the Holy Ghost in this place tonight. I wish somebody would get excited. We got a few of you excited. I wish somebody would shout out, I want to be used. And you're probably saying, I would be used if they let me. Well, they'd use you if, that's a different Bible study. That's a leadership. See, when you get to the point where you have bowed before God's will, and you have said, enough's enough of my will. I want your will to be in my life. Then that's when you gotta be ready for God to elevate you. That's when you better get ready to start seeing something different than you've ever seen in the past before. That's when you might even look at something you used to see way back and you ain't been used or seen that in a long time. You may just get some of that back. Huh? Get ready for the wonders of God. Get ready for what God wants to do to use your life. See, when you finally bow in God's presence to His will and let your will just be gone, hang it up, I'm telling you right now, that's where you meet expectation. We have a very powerful vision, a very precious ministry in Victory Outreach. There's a lot of great churches, a lot of great ministries. I know some very amazing pastors in this country. Great churches, great visions they have. It's not my vision, though. It's not my church. My ministry is Victory Outreach. And even though you listen to people and you see people, and that's good. That's good that we can be able to learn from other people. But I'm telling you something right now. Our ministry, this vision that Victory Outreach has, is pure and it is precious. And the moment you start devaluing it, tells me people devalue this ministry. You know why they do? Because they don't see. They see with that tunnel vision. They see with that close vision. All they can see is right here. They can't see anything on beyond that. It's easy to lose your sight when you don't take care of your eyes. When I was young and a young painter, I thought I was so invincible that paint would get in my eyes and you would have cleaned that out, man. Especially those days that the paint was full of all kinds of stuff. It's not like now where it's organic. Put in organic paint, you know, a non-smelling, non-toxic paint. My daughter asked me, she says, Dad, did you paint? I go, yeah. She goes, is it non-toxic? I said, yes, mija. It cost me $6 more a gallon to get non-toxic. See, I used to let things fall in my eyes, and I realized, you know, man, it messes up your eyes. I used to get stain in my eyes. I used staining Vigas, and it would get in my eyes, and I'd just wipe it and keep on going. I'm like, buy some goggles. We got to care for our vision. We got to care. So my first point is tonight, and I preached part of this message on Sunday at our church because I needed to give it to them, but I wanted our region to hear it, and I got more for you. So some of you that are saying, well, I think I heard that, some of that. Well, you're going to hear more of it. Some things we need to do to care for our vision. I want to move fast because I want to finish. You know, yeah. Pastor Tom don't fly until 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, so you can be here all night long. There are some certain things we need. And the first one is we need to guard our vision. Our vision is precious. It's the great commission that's spoken in Matthew chapter 9. It's the promised scriptures of Isaiah 45, 2 and 3, and there's Isaiah 54, 2 and 3, and it just keeps on moving and moving and moving. In 59, there was a new one that Dick Mills gave about the children, and I see now Pastor Sonny's children and his son-in-laws becoming elders, Pastor Joe Cotinola, man. What a powerful man. What a powerful church. I preach in these churches, and I'm telling you right now, those churches are in revival. Whittier is in revival. It's 1,000 people. They don't have enough room to contain all the people. Pastor Al's church, there is something going on there that we haven't even ever seen before. Sister Julie had a group of people from San Jose today in San Diego saying, train these girls. What are you guys doing, man? There's multiplication going on here. Why? That's the Isaiah 59 promise that Dick Mills, the prophet, who gave Pastor Sonny Isaiah 45 and Isaiah 54, and then he came with Isaiah 59 at the 35th year banquet. We were there when we heard it, and I've seen God raise up Pastor Sonny Jr. Now Pastor Tim Argonzoni is over all the victory homes, and God is using Sister Debbie and Doreen and Georgina and the son-in-laws, and I'm watching them, and I'm seeing the promises unfold before my very eyes. What I saw way back then, I can't wait to see what's going to happen. And I thank God I'm still here to see what God is doing. We got to guard this vision. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. Just catch up with me. I'm not going to wait for you. That'll be on the screen. 1 Timothy 1, 11 says, Paul was talking to Timothy. He says, guard what's entrusted to you. He says, and of this gospel, I was appointed a herald, a preacher, and an apostle, and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. What you heard from me, Timothy. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching and faith, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Verse 14 says, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Pastors, churches that are here from the Rio Grande region, from El Paso and Española and from Las Cruces and from Deming and from Albuquerque. God has entrusted you, pastors. He has entrusted you, leaders. He has entrusted you, people, for the church there in your city to make a difference, to make an impact, to be a Matthew chapter 9 kind of disciple that says, can't you see the harvest is ready? We must guard what God has entrusted to us. We must have passion for the harvest, because if we do, we'll guard it. The only way that you can guard this powerful vision is if you guard your faith in Jesus Christ. I've seen many men and women come and go. The moment they began to put their eyes on something else, there goes the vision. There goes their calling. Doesn't mean God can't restore, because God has restored many of us. When I was a young man, I got a hold of God, and for 10 years I backslid. And thank God 30 years ago, God came and changed my life. 31 years ago, God came and found me. So God can restore. My goodness, keep your faith strong. Listen, you've been entrusted with a precious gift of salvation. Guard it. Guard your prayer life. Guard your word life. Don't go a day without prayer, a day without the word. Get a hold of God, because if you get a hold of God, the vision is easy. When you don't got God, it's a burden. Coming to church and serving is a burden when you ain't got, you're not full of God. You can always tell when you're starting to get burdened about ministry and it's too much for you. You can tell you're slacking in prayer and the word. Come on, evaluate yourself for a minute. The moment the burden of the ministry starts getting too heavy on you, that's when you know you're not praying like you should. You're not in your word. Because if you're praying like you should, God's going to give you a promise. If you're in your word like you should, he's going to show you right there. And he goes, ooh, We've got to guard our faith. Our vision lines up directly with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're reaching the unreachable. We're in the streets where nobody wants to be. We're winning the lost at any cost. So if you lose your sight of the vision, you're going to lose souls. El Paso is full of hundreds of thousands of souls. Las Cruces is full of thousands upon thousands of souls. Española, the whole valley, is full of souls that are waiting for Victory Outreach to go knock on their door and say, come with me. Listen, if the Jehovah Witnesses can get dressed up in suits and ties and long dresses and will knock on doors of people that spit on them and tell them, get out of these doors. Come on, Victory Outreach. What are we doing, man? We're just there coming to church on Sunday morning. To get out there and talk to them. Huh? You gotta have clear vision. See, some of you can't see it because you don't have clear vision. You don't have no glasses. You need glasses, but you won't admit it. You're still like this. I can read it. Remember when I first found out I needed glasses, I'm telling you right now, I was prideful. I don't need no glasses. Well, then why are you squinting? I don't need no glasses. Try these on. I went to the doctor. That was, I don't know how many years ago. My sister, God used her to show me, look, what do you like? What do you like, clear vision or no vision? Well, you know what? That happens in the ministry, too. That happens with God. You start seeing clear, especially if you've kind of been going around the same old religious ways that won't change. When you won't change, it's like time to change. And you got to go back to the doctor every 2 years. They say go every 2 years to check it out. They want to check the health of your eyes. So I go every 2 years, but this year I didn't have the same insurance, so I had no eye insurance. So I was being like, I'm not going to go. I don't have no insurance. It costs too much money, and so I'm not going to go. And my doctor, Dr. May, she kept on calling, texting, you're due, you're past due. I didn't call him back. I'm not calling you back. Take me off your call. Block him. And the other day I told Pastor Joe, I know you got a hookup, man. This guy, can you call him and ask him if he can see me? Because I ain't got no money for it and I ain't got no insurance for it. He goes, yay. So I go in there and he goes, the guy tells me, the dentist goes, how you doing? And he's cool. He's awesome, man. Anyway, he checked it out. He goes like this. He goes, because the last time I went to the doctor told me, you know what? Your eyes are getting better. 2.5, almost 3 years ago. Your eyes are getting better. I go, I've had a miracle. He goes, no, you're getting older. And the kind of vision you have, your vision's supposed to get better when you get older. See, some of you have been around a long time. Your vision's supposed to get older, better as you get older, but that's getting dimmer. So what does he do? He goes, I got to dilate your eyes, man. So he dilates my eyes. I forgot about dilating. I haven't had dilated eyes in like 8 years. So he puts the drops in there. I'm cool. I'm on my phone. He goes, just wait there. I'm on the phone. I'm watching, playing stuff on my phone like that. Looking at Instagram, posting all kinds of stuff. You know, I'm a poster. If you follow me on Instagram, follow me on Instagram. If you follow me on Instagram tonight, I'll follow you back. Tonight. Not you in the home. If some of you, if you guys follow me on Instagram at the home, you'll be undisciplined, amen? You're not supposed to have a phone. But everybody, if you have that, follow me, I'll follow you tonight. Tonight. I mean, I'll make sure and pop, pop, pop tonight if you follow me. Because you got to read my blog every morning. I put a blog. That's the one that I do. I always have a word every morning. Not a morning that goes by. Amen? Even when I'm on vacation, I still give my word out. And so, I'm there on my phone, messing around with the phone. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they go, okay, you got to come back over here. And I'm starting to, cloudy, right? I get back there, and the doctor looks at me, checks me out completely. He goes, okay, Pastor, he goes, he goes, your eyes are good. He goes, the prescription is better this time. I go, why? I'm getting older. I go, yeah. I go, okay, good. Awesome. Good deal. He goes, hey, let me ask you a question. I go, how do you fund your homes? I was like, well, with millionaires like you. No, I didn't say that. I should have. God, I should have. I just missed. I should have done that. I said, you know what? Let me tell you what, man. Our guys and girls are not lazy. So they'll go clean a yard. They'll do a car wash. They'll do... We fund it. We don't get funded by the government because the government wants us to not say Jesus. We say, God bless you, this victory. We can't say nothing. We can't say nothing about Jesus or the blood of Jesus or powerful or anything because they don't believe in that. So we don't take no government funding from nobody. And he goes, wow, that's heavy, man. That's heavy, he goes. Okay, we'll see you next time. I'm like, a check. Write a check. We need, the homes need finances. see. I get out there and I go, in my car, I get in my car and I go, I can't see. Where am I going? And I knew me and Anthony had an appointment, Brother Anthony, you know, our women's home director's husband. He's a women's home director too, I guess. Now he went 2 years in the home, said, I'll never go back to the home again. And then he married the home director. So he's back in the home where he belongs. Amen. I asked him, I go, Anthony, he go, rescue me. Rescue me. And he's like, what's the matter, Pastor? I go, I can't see. Why? I told him, they did my eyes and all that stuff. He goes, okay, we'll figure it out. So his wife got him, picked him up. She took him over there, and he drove me all the way up to, we had to go to the East Mountains. And then finally he started going back, and I go, okay, I'll drive now. I can drive now. I can see, you know. But I make that point to say this, that all of our vision gets cloudy sometimes. But you got to get some new glasses if you have to. I hope this weekend will be a weekend where you get your new set of glasses, where you can see further than you've ever been able to see again. I think some of you have been cloudy and you can't see. Jesus said when he saw the multitudes, when he saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion. But you, do you see? So we gotta guard our vision, what we see. Gotta value it. Keep it pure. Keep it, you know, keep it like it's a brand new toy. You know, your kids and your grandkids, they get a gift from you and they're all happy with it. And then before you know it, you see on the floor of them broken in the corner, right? You love them so you don't save too much. But you think to yourself, wait a minute. Some of you were young, man, you kept that toy because it's the only toy you got. You value that toy. You still got it, some of you. Huh? Capture it, appreciate it. Second thing real quickly, and I'm not going to labor on this one, but you need to internalize the vision. You got to get it inside of you, in your heart, not just your mind. Some of you got it in your mind. You can quote all the scriptures. You can quote the mission statement. You got it all together. You know all that, but it's not in your heart yet. That's why you still haven't said, Pastor, train me. I want to go pastor a church. Send me as a missionary. I want to be in full-time ministry. You know what? I want to sign up to be the head of this ministry right here. I want to stand up. I want to stand right here. I want to do this. I want to do that. And I want to do it for as long as God calls me to do it. Got to get it inside of you. The Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 26 and 19 says, therefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. How was it that Paul could declare this? Let me tell you why he could declare it. Because it was inside of him. He did more than just had an encounter in his mind. He had an encounter in his spirit. He had an encounter in his heart. He was inside of his life. He had a passion for the harvest. Huh? Was it just for Sundays or for conference or for summit? It was every day. Many times people can't fulfill the vision because they haven't internalized it. Because you swerve or you stray from the vision. Get back on the road tonight and get it inside of you. Get it out of your mind and get it in your heart. You know where sin starts? Sin starts in your mind and falls into your heart. If the vision is in your mind, it should fall in your heart. If it's not, because if sin does, why doesn't vision? I'm just going to leave that for another teaching, amen? The moment we begin to get away from God's will and start following our will, all of a sudden trouble comes. The only way you can keep it inside is value your relationship with Christ. Pastor Sonny talks about prayer more than anything. Prayer, man, keep close to God. Keep close to God. He's seen so many men stray from prayer and stray from their calling. And then, they end up not being in the ministry anymore. Prayer and servanthood. Be humble and be a servant. Amen? It's our vision. Let's guard it. Let's make sure we internalize it. Third, real quickly. Don't let difficulties detour you from the vision. So guard your vision. All right? Guard your vision. And once you know you can guard it, get it inside of you by internalizing it. And then thirdly, you need to don't let any difficulties detour you from the vision. See, your difficulties are a direct result or a direct indication of your calling. If you're getting all kind of, man, why is all this happening to me all the time? Why am I always in this happened and that happened. I'm going to tell you why. Because the devil don't want you to fulfill your purpose. Your purpose belongs to God. You're on God's time. You're on His agenda. You're in His will. And so the enemy will always throw things at you. And sometimes when it's not the enemy throwing things at you, sometimes God will allow things to happen because He knows He needs to sand some stuff off of you. Sometimes He needs to get some stuff out of you. He needs to stretch you a little bit. He needs to pull some stuff a little bit. Man, why do I got to do this? No, you're in the home. You're in the home. Nah, I'm going through all this and that. Just when I thought things were good, I wrote a letter home and this happens. You know what? Your difficulties are a direct indication that you're called by God. And you better hold on through that trial. Hold on through your trouble. Hold on, because God's about to move on your part. You have a purpose to fulfill. Remember, how many remember the story of Daniel, chapter, the three Hebrew boys? You remember that story? Man, look at their trial. Look at Job's trials. Think about it for a minute. Look at David. David gets anointed king, does a bunch of great stuff. Before you know it, the king is throwing spears at him. These three Hebrew boys were good boys, man. They were obedient. They did whatever they told them. But one day, they came and told them, when you hear the music of the flutes and the harps and this and that and everything else, when you hear it, you need to bow before the image. And what do? They say, nah, not this one. I won't do that. They say, you know what happens, the ramifications, if you don't bow before this thing, is they're going to throw you in a fiery furnace. So be it. So the king was upset. He came and talked to him because he knew him real good. He appointed him. He raised him up. They're his boys. He's like, man, hey, guys, so listen. The guys are telling me that you're disobeying with my orders. And is it true that you don't want to do it? They're like, yeah. He's like, are you defying me? He says, not really defying you. I'm defying that image of you. I'm not going to bow before it. And the other one says, I'm not going to bow before it. And the other third one says, I'm surely not going to bow before it. So do what you got to do. He said, but you realize, he says, if you don't do that, they're going to throw you in this fiery furnace. I don't want to do that. I love you guys. You guys have integrity. You guys are good looking. You guys have all these things going for you. You help our kingdom be better. Come on, man. He says, just do it. They said, nah. We'd rather burn than bow. We know that if you throw us in the fire, that God is going to deliver us. Our God is going to deliver us. Because we see farther than you see. That's why you can't tell your dreams, but Daniel can. And we see things a little further. That image right there is going to bring the demise of your life. Get rid of the image. Well, they didn't see that right there, but that's what they're really telling them. We can see. Isn't that right, man? Come on. I'm going to bow to that image. The Bible says he got furious. So he told the guys, turn the heat up. Turns the heat up hotter than ever. The Bible says that the men who dragged them, well, not dragged them, they just walked in. They didn't have to drag them in. Like, no, okay, I'll bow. They said, no, take us in. The men who took him melted. If you look at the original language, it wasn't just that they burned, they melted. The fire was so hot that the guards that took him to put him in melted. And then all of a sudden, something happened. Out of nowhere, they said, hey, king, we don't know what's going on. Our guards melted, but these guys, they're boogieing it up in that fire, man. They're getting that boogie down. Let's groove tonight. They were just like in there. You tell what area I came from, 70s and on. Remember, I got saved 30 years ago, so when I do music, I know you guys, Bruno Mars and Matt. Bruno Mars, but I only know back then. So it's like they're boogieing inside. They're just dancing around the fire. I'm going to dance around the throne. And they're jamming inside there. They call the king. He comes to look in there, and he's like, what's going on in there? These guys are dancing in the fire. I put them there to punish them. They're dancing. And what happens? is that all of a sudden he says, wait a minute. Didn't we put three Hebrew boys in that fire? And they said, yes, we did, sire. Said, why is it that I see a fourth man in that fire then, and he looks like the Son of God? You see, they were thrown into the fiery furnace because of their faith. Because they refused to bow before the king's image. In other words, their convictions were strong enough to refuse the devil's request. If you're going to guard this vision, if you're going to be a soldier, a worker, a leader one day in this ministry, or continue to be, if you're going to take a city or a country for Jesus, then your convictions are going to have to be stronger and strong enough to refuse the devil. So when you're called to the ministry, the enemy will throw everything your way to stop you. But remember, every trouble, every trial, every bit of fire that you gotta face is an indication that God has a calling on your life. There's an anointing on your life. And when the fire gets hot, you better know something here tonight, that God will teach you how to dance in the heat. These three Hebrew boys were literally thrown into the fire, and Jesus showed up. Some of you are probably wondering, why in the world do I have, I got bad news today. Why you're wondering why you got bad news last week. Some of you saying, man, I can't believe this, man. I thought everything was cool, and now what? And you keep on wondering, asking that question, why in the world do I got to go through this kind of stuff? Why in the world? See, you might be asking the question too, saying, wait a minute. If God didn't want them to be like burned, then why didn't he show up right before the fire showed up? Why didn't he come up and say, you're not throwing them in the fire. I rebuke you, Satan. Or put a bunch of angels in front of us, and they couldn't have went into the fire. Why? Let me tell you why. I'm going to tell you why. Because they were designed to go into the fire. Because in the fires where God shows up. And their design was to come out of the fire with no hair singed on their body. Their calling was to come out of the fire with no smoke on their clothes, so that everybody that would see it would give glory to God. That everybody that would look and witness it would say, they don't even smell like smoke. They're not burned, not a hair on their arm or their head or their eyelashes or their brows or anything is burnt. Why? So that God would get all of the glory. In other words, if you would just for the first time in your life get the revelation that it's not about you. Leadership isn't about you. What you do for God is not about you. It might fulfill your calling and you might feel good, but everything we do is about God's plan, about God's will. And the sooner you get that in your spirit, you're going to stop wanting to quit. The sooner you start getting that in your spirit, you're going to quit complaining and talking about everything. You're going to learn how to shut up and serve. Because there's a purpose to your fire. There's a purpose to your problems. And guess what happened? A whole nation, because they're willing to obey God and bow to his will only and not to the image of Nebuchadnezzar. Oh, you better understand something here tonight. They were willing, and guess because of their willingness and their obedience, a whole nation was saved. I wonder what will happen if you finally hang up all your hang-ups, if you'll finally get rid of all the junk that's in your heart and start just saying, I want your will to be done in my life, Lord. Oh, I wonder what will happen. I wonder if a whole family, if a whole generation, or maybe multiple generations will get saved in your family. I wonder what will happen if one of you just says, you know what, enough's enough. I'm going to hang up all
my hang-ups, and I am going to not bow before my will anymore. I'm going to bow before God's will and obey His vision.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody say yeah. See what you're going through? If you would just see why you're going through it, you just start dancing. But you can't dance because you can't see. Your vision is blurry. You're cloudy, so you can't dance because all you think about, I'm going to burn. All I was doing is trying to serve the Lord, and look what God did. Look at Victory Outreach. Look what Pastor did. Look what that... Stop already. Open up your eyes. Can't you see the fields are ready for a harvest? Oh, somebody better shout under the power of the Holy Ghost. Even your purpose is not about you. It's about Him. The vision is bigger than your problems. If the vision isn't inside of you, you won't buckle every time trouble comes your way. That's why you gotta stay close to Jesus. Stay close to your leaders. Stay close to your church and your people. Some of you want to stay close only to your disciples, but not to your leaders. Some of you want to stay close to your leader, but not to Jesus. Do whatever your leader says, but when Jesus tells your leaders be nice to you, say, well, I know they won't quit their job. I'm not going to do that to them. And, hey, could you just give a little more time? Jesus might be saying, quit your job, like he did Pastor Renee. Quit your nice job, you and Gemma, your nice home, and the way you go to church, and you have all your paths right in Denver, and move to Las Cruces. Or you can say, honey, help me write a resignation letter. We're quitting our job. And when mama says, no problem, I had one written up a long time ago, I've been waiting for you, it says last man of conviction up on the hill. The fire's an indication you're doing something right. Your obedience could save so many. See, these three Hebrew boys, obedience and the refusal to bow, it meant something. See, you have to fight against your flesh. You have to give until it hurts. And you can't give up every time there's a problem. I'm leaving this church. I'm quitting. I can't do this. I can't. Really? Every single time? We're looking for soldiers who will fight. Soldiers who will stand in the fight, stand in the fire. And we're looking for soldiers who will give sacrificially. There's got to be a time, there's got to be a day where your church and your pastors say, listen, we got a project. We want to bring a drama in, but we don't got no money. How many? Oh, I can get 10, 15 people to give me $1,000. We can do this. And you go sacrificially. Instead of buying another TV, a fifth or sixth TV, you give that $700 to the church. Too many people give up. Your opposition is an indication. Come on, guys. The devil will always try to put an obstacle. Don't give in to your feelings. 1 Corinthians 5:7 says that we don't live by sight. We live by faith. You say, well, you said to have sight. Yeah. You got to see the vision. But after that, you got to have faith. See, if you believe you're destined, you better be determined. Because there will be difficulties. Oh, come on, somebody. You know you have difficulties. Somebody said this the other day, and I had to get it, and I don't even know who wrote it, but somebody wrote it. I copied it right away. I wrote it. Pressure creates diamonds, and fire refines gold. So I'm saying this. Let the pressure do its work and dance in the fire. If pressure in the coal creates a diamond,
then let the process, let the pressure do its work. You've been under some pressure, let it do its work. Let it crush all the junk out of you. Let it clean everything you need out of you. Because where you're going, baby, you can't hold on to that junk. You gotta hang up your hang up. And if fire refines the gold, that means that all the junk comes to the top and gets moved out of the way. You know how you can tell when the gold's been refined? When you can see your image in the gold. If you can't see your image in the gold, that means you ain't been, you haven't learned how to dance in the fire. You haven't learned how to get in that fire and just boogie. It's got to get inside of you. And lastly, you got to invest in the vision. You had a good point earlier, Devin. We got to invest in souls, invest in harvest. Pastor Charlie really did a good job of saying, well, this is an investment. There are dividends. But even if you've never got nothing back, we never give to get. We give because we love God. We give because every day we wake up and realize, man, I was headed for death. I was headed for an early grave. I had no hope of heaven. I had no hope of family. I had no hope for nothing. But oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that I've got hope for the future. Thank you, Jesus, that I got hope. The need is great. The harvest is big. A lot of churches and a lot of ministries have lost their heart for evangelism. They're living out their final chapter because all they care about is what they see right here. It could even have 30,000 people, 20,000 people, but if a church is not winning souls, if it's just about that group of people, come on, somebody. It's never just about us. It's always about Jesus. Our church has to become a feeder to the global. Our ministry has to become a feeder. We have a girl in Amsterdam right now. We got a girl right now in Amsterdam right now. Pastors, I want to challenge you. Get these guys and girls to the UTCs, the MTCs. Let's begin to be feeders. Your pastor, Pastor Renee. Pastor Tom, our elder, is coming tomorrow. He feeds the global vision. He feeds it constantly, giving him men, women, couples constantly. He even fed our region. He's such a feeder that he says, oh, well, I'm feeding the region. Let me drop one off in New Mexico. Boom. What are we feeding? Instead of feeding, we're feeding. Come on, somebody. We're sitting here feeding on... We got to feed. Come on, some of you guys, you know you're called. Get that spirit off of you that the devil's trying to convince you that, you know what, it's too much trial, too much. Get it off of you, man. That trial is a direct result of why you're even called in the first place, because God wants you to get everything out of you. He wants to take everything out of you. Amen? If you're not a United We Can member, I'm telling you right now, I know I said it earlier, but become one this weekend. Become one. Why? You're going to hear about the world vision, about our regional, everything. But what good is it if we just hear and we're not doers? Let's invest in the harvest. Imagine the possibilities if every church member in our churches here would tithe. Imagine the possibility of every single church member in our churches in the Rio Grande region were United We Can member. Imagine the possibilities that when Run for Hope happens, that we would blast way past our expectations. Way above. You know that we got a plan? Our church has a plan. We're going to raise over 20 grand this year. And it's going to be easy. It's going to be easy. What about you guys? Let's turn the world upside down, man. Let's turn the world upside down. Let's take this world for Jesus. Let's take our region. Man, we need to bust open a new city. We need churches, man, in Santa Fe and Roswell. But there's also churches needed across the ocean, down south. Listen, Panama's just a start. Nicaragua, Honduras. More churches in Cuba, more churches in Puerto Rico. More churches all over. We need Victory Avenue churches all over. The inner cities are hurting. We need churches in Rhode Island. In Vermont, say Vermont. Yeah, the drug of choice there is Shiva, heroin, Garga. Man, there's all kinds of dope fiends, man, in those cities. You know what? If we don't do it, God will raise up another ministry to do it.
shall praise me. Come on, somebody. Matthew 9, Jesus said, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. When he saw the multitudes, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like a sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray ye to the Lord of the harvest, Lord who's in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into the field. The need is great. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. I wonder tonight if there's anybody in this room that would say, I want to hang up my hang-ups. I want to bow before God's will and not before the world or not before my own agenda. That thing that has been raised up for you to bow to, that image that the devil has placed before you and you've been bowing to all these years, even in church, even in the ministry, you've been bowing to something else instead of God's will. God has said, if you'll just bow to my will, I'll bless you like you never ever thought you could be blessed. Quit running from God. Stop running from God and do what God's called you to do. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I believe with all of my heart that this weekend is going to be a very strategic. I believe God wants to raise up an army in Rio Grande region. It may not look like it. Our churches are small in this region. We may not have a whole lot of people. But all God needs is a few good men, a few good women that says, I'll go. I'm ready to hang up my hang-ups. I'm ready. See, I want to challenge people tonight. If your heart's not close to God, give your heart to God. If you didn't encounter with Jesus Christ, you need to redo it, then you do it tonight. Just get it started with the main thing right now so you can enjoy what Pastor Tom's going to be bringing tomorrow night, Saturday morning, tomorrow morning, Sunday morning. And I want to challenge you tonight as you come to these altars to get a heart for the lost again. You might think, well, I have a heart for the lost. I do ministry. You may only be seen what you do. You may not be seen further than that. I want to challenge you to guard the vision, to internalize it, to not let anything detour you, to invest in the vision, to stretch. I want to challenge you to let the pressure do its work and to dance in the fire. Tonight, as they begin to sing this song, I just want to open up these altars tonight for every man and woman as God spoke to your heart. If God has spoken to you, and he says, you know what? Lord, I want your anointing upon my life. I want your will to be done in my life, not my own will. I want to bow to your will, Father. I want to do everything you called me to do. I'm not going to leave this earth doing the same thing over and over and over. But I want your agenda. I don't want my agenda no more. I come to these altars to hang up my hang-ups. I come to these altars to submit my will to your will, God. I want to come to this altar tonight to say yes to you. What do you want from me, God? I'll follow you. I'll do it. I'll do whatever you ask me to do, God.